about something about the Holocaust. I'll tell you I saw somebody was it's in the day school circles in America. They are talking about how should it be taught, should it be taught, and how should children now they should know something about it. How, what should be the approach to it? Your secret is coming out. Oh, that's good. Now, I just by seeing this, I started thinking, and I would like to think aloud for a few minutes about this. Now, it seems to me that the our thinking of the Holocaust, how it's called, there are four angles to it. Two good ones and two bad ones. One angle is the problem of the disaster which happened the people as a whole, the entire people. Let's say the disaster that the people has lost so much of its best blood. Most of the yeshivas were destroyed. Most of the gedolim were destroyed. Not going in yet about the individual who suffered, but the entire Klal Yisrael suffered a great loss. And this is one angle. Then the other angle is the suffering of the people who were in it. Besides a national disaster, it is an individual disaster for each and every person who was there, and for each and every family who had a member over there. That's the individual, the personal disaster. And I think those two angles are positive, and we should be concerned about them. Then there are two other angles which are negative ones. One is the fact that if a Jew is being mistreated in any corner of the world, the blood of all Jews becomes a little cheaper. Is it clear what I say?
Why are the first two points positive?
Let's hear what is negative, then we'll find out why I say that's positive. Yeah, you know what it says in the Mishnah, Shimon HaTzadik, right? Huh? Why did they give him a name Tzadik? The only one of all the Chachomim in the Mishnah, they gave a name Tzadik. Wasn't Hillel HaTzadik, wasn't Shammai HaTzadik. Why did he call Shimon? You know the answer is? Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol. And he was still from the Shiori Knesset HaGdolah. It didn't take long, and into the Kahuna, into the Kohen HaGdolah, some Hellenists have infiltrated. And two generations later, there was another Shimon Kohen Gadol who was not such a tzaddik. Now, in order to distinguish between the two Shimons, so during the time of the second Shimon, they started to call themselves Shimon Tzadik. Because when there was a negative parallel, they had to name the positive. So you ask me why I said it's a positive, let's see what is negative. There was a concern. There was a concern about some Jews in America during the Holocaust. And some Jews in England who were very much concerned about the fact that being a Jew is not safe anymore because of the fact that Jews are being persecuted, Jews are being mistreated in such a way openly, and nobody reacts, and there was no reaction. So therefore, the blood of the Jew in the free countries also became cheap. Now, a person, that concern is a negative concern. Because when my brother is in such trouble, I should realize his trouble, not my problem. Is that clear what I say? That's why this is a negative approach. Unfortunately, the confusion, people are not analyzing, and there is a confusion, and we always our selfish interests are always disguising themselves as ethics, as ethical concerns, which are not. Is it clear what I am saying? This is explaining why at the time of the Holocaust there might have been a way to buy lives by bribing the Nazis. There might have been ways. And as a matter of fact, something like this has been done. The Joint Distribution Committee did not want to know anything about this. He said, we cannot, America is at war with Germany, and we cannot support the enemy. And when a campaign, an independent campaign was made, and the goal was at that time $1 million or more, and it was realized that $500,000. There was a representative of the JDC in Switzerland by the name of Sally Meyer who tried to stop it that it should not get to Germany, but it went through. And it saved a train with Jews, 1,100 Jews better, saved with this $500,000. Now, to understand how can a Jew say we cannot redeem our brothers? How can we? The answer is his concern was not for the Jew in the camp. His concern was for himself. And then he found that he may have some blame on him by America. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for it. So he sacrificed his brother. And I am emphasizing this not to accuse people, because I think, as it says in Chumash, Kilchol Ha'om Bishgogo, that most of the people who are wrong are misled. And not everybody understands it, and not everybody analyzes it. But on the other hand, I emphasize it in order to clarify that those are two different angles. There is one angle, my concern for him, and there is another angle, my concern for myself. The same thing is going on right today with the concern for Eretz Yisrael. Goes on right today. That you can find out today within the leadership of the American, and the so-called leadership of the American Jewish community, who is embarrassed by Israel standing in the way of the NAFT, of Arab NAFT. They're embarrassed. And you'll find here in Israel, you'll find some Jews, they call themselves haters. They sit in the Knesset. And nobody can understand why they are taking up the cause of the of those three mayors who were instrumental in that in the massacre in Hebron. And there have been some Jews, members of Knesset, who went to demonstrate for them, who went to the border to ask him to come in. How can a Jew do this? The answer is, he's a Polish Menatsibo. The answer is that the entire problem is how it's relating to him. So he doesn't care what happens to the people as long as he thinks that when he himself flatters the Arab, it will help him. It doesn't. But that's what he thinks. But that's his psychology. That's his feeling. So therefore, this is in Lashon HaKodesh, I would call this hashchata, corruption. I don't mean corruption, I mean ethical corruption. Then there is the fourth angle, which is even worse. And this is being brought out in literature as Min HaMeitzar, by Weissman, Lola Vashon, in literature as Shrufei Akif Shoinim Ma'ashimim, the gas victims accuse. Do you know about that book?
Victims accuse. What is the English
name? Is it the gas victims or? The ghetto.
The victims accused.
Yeah, the victims accused. Sheinfeld, that Moshe Sheinfeld, that book, which has been brought out that there have been political groups who utilized the Holocaust in order to get Eretz Yisrael, in order to get, they thought it's worth it. They thought. Some of them, of the leaders, when they're told about it, said, it's good, that this way we'll get the Medina. And this is plain vicious. This was also there. Now, I started saying,
how did you think that they were going to acquire the Medina by virtue of benefiting from the murder?
By utilizing the guilt feeling of the of nations. And what happened also to a certain extent. But to say, and they were standing in the way even of saving people, this had to do also with the Kastner trial. There's a book, Perfidy, which has about this too. Now, this since, as I mentioned before, I started thinking about it, about, because I saw that it's now coming up, that question of methodics, how to teach it in day schools. So I'm thinking also along those lines. And I don't think this should be even mentioned. For ourselves as adults, maybe it doesn't hurt to know it. But in education of children, this has no place. Even to say that the third approach, to say that we care for ourselves, some people care for ourselves, I think that's too sharp an analysis for children. But on the other hand, the first two are very important, should be brought out. Now I would like to talk about the first two. Is it all right to talk about this? I would like to talk about the first two. Now, in a mature way, how to what to select for children is nothing, but in a mature way, what should be our approach? What should we think? There's the national approach. I am just, I cannot organize it, but let me think aloud. We have two statements. One, Shirash. That when Hashem, we sing it before benching and Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? When Hashem will return those who are returning to Zion, to Zion, we will at that time look at ourselves as if in the past we were dreaming only. It's like saying, whatever we experience, whatever we have experienced, it's a bad dream. And a person is dreaming. In his dream, he can be very better, he can have the greatest disasters. Then he wakes up, oh, it was only a dream. It's not reality. And that's what he says, that when we wake up, when the Yeshua will come, we will realize that whatever happened was just a bad dream. Very hard to understand. Very, very hard to understand. All the people who have been tortured, all the people who have been lost. How can you say it was a bad thing? How can you say that? But that's what he says, and it seems that our worries will be over, because like a man is waking up, and oh, it's just a dream. On the other hand, it says in Zechariah, that after Mashiach will come, there will be a great mourning in Yerushalayim. And a great description acclaimed in Zechariah, how each and every family will cry. And this In Gemara, it says clear that this refers to the time right after Mashiach will come. There will be a great mourning, and people will be crying bitterly. Now, and we can understand what it says here. We can understand because, in fact, somebody should ask himself, I don't know, you are young people, but for people who lived at that time, how can we exist? In just remembering what happened and how it happened. How can a person even leave? How can a person have a heart to leave? Are you understand? The answer is Tzur Yalot Choteshi. That we have been given a... I mentioned Tzur Yalot Choteshi. It says in Nazino. And the first of Shat is that we have been given a capacity of forgetting. Because if a person would remember all the tragedies which he passed through his life, it would confuse, it would keep confused. So that's a gift that Hashem gave us, that after a certain time, things are becoming forgotten. It's not the best thing, but it's necessary for our existence. But it says, that when Mashiach will come, Hashem says, I will remove the heart of stone from you, or the rock you have, and asate lechem leit basar, and I will give you a heart of flesh, which means that will become more sensitive to things, will become more impressive and more sensitive. And suddenly we will remember what kept on being in the back of our memory, and suddenly it will come in front. But what's going to happen? How will we exist? It says, V'amarto b'yom ahu, and you will say that day, that's a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's either the first Pasuk of Capital Yud Beis or Yud Gimel, either the 12th or the 3rd chapter in Yeshaya. V'amarta b'yom ahu, and you'll say that day, Oitcho Hashem, I thank you Hashem, kion aftabi, for having been angry with me, Yoshev apcho, when your anger will go away, utanachameni, I'll be consoled. What does it mean? It means that what is happening is for a purpose. It's the limitations of our capacities that to us it's a kashi. Take away, we cannot answer it. But by the time when the answer will be revealed to us, we'll be able to stand the tragedy and knowing it, and will still be able to exist, because we'll understand it. So together, which were matter v'yem ahu oitcha Hashem kion aftabi, together with learning and understanding what was this leading to, we will be able to afford to have a lev basar, to have a heart of flesh, to become sensitive and realize everything. So everybody would cry. And that's what the Novi says in Schai, that after Moshiach would come, everybody would cry. But how is this going together with that statement of a Yimek Chomim that will realize it was a bad dream? The answer is, here is the difference between the national disaster and the individual disaster. The national disaster leads up to something. And this would be from the angle of the national disaster, we'll find out it was just a dream. But the individual disaster will cry. Huh? Is that clear?
Just why is it that even on the national, why is it by the national disaster, the individual disaster that we should cry is understood, but why in the even the national disaster, many great people were lost? They have said, was still great.
No, the national disaster is not the individual who is lost. It's the loss of the entire people which has lost so much blood. So if this was for a purpose, for the future, for something, then we'll see that what we had Akashi is not Akashi. Therefore, from the national angle, Hagenek Echolmi. From the individual angle, just the opposite, everybody will cry. Huh? Do we have to understand it? Do we have to understand this at least? Yes, we do. Torah says, you have to understand. We should understand the hand of providence which is leading it. One thing is for ourselves alone to understand. But let me mention this first. The Gemara says, that's the last, did you make a siman Masechta Makos? All right. Remember the last tikkun Gemara. Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim, and they are going, and they see a fax is running out of the Mokim HaMikdash, the place where this HaMikdash is standing. And the Chachom starts crying. And Rabbi Akiva is happy. And they say, Akiva, what are you so happy about? And he says, what are you crying about? They say, crying about? See what's... it's the place which was the Beis HaMikdash, fax not running on. Surely, Miuchu boy. The pasuk in Eicho, facts not running. So Rabbi Akiva said, "That's why I'm so happy." Why? He said there is a pasuk in Micho, where idoli edim ne'amani. I have taken two trustworthy witnesses, Esuriyo Hakoye. There's Schayo ben Berachio. Rio and Schayo. Now, Rabbi Akiva understands, that's how the Gemara understands, that Rio is a queen who was during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, long before it was destroyed. And Schayo is one of the three prophets which were already participating in rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash in there. Centuries away from each other. How does it bring them together? He said, Urio said a prophecy that Yerushalayim will be destroyed and it will sodet bechorosh. It will be plowed as a field. And Zechariah says there will still come a time when the streets of Jerusalem will be full of people. He says, as long as I have not seen the prophecy of Rio realized, I didn't know about. But now when I saw that the prophecy of Rio is realized, it reminds me that the prophecy of Zechariah will also be realized. So I look forward to that happy time in Jerusalem. It says, and I am happy. But it says, Vo'idali Edim Ne'emanim, and I have taken two trustworthy witnesses, Uriyo and Zechariah. What it means, tragedies which befell us are beyond human imagination. What happened during the Holocaust? The human mind could not imagine a thing like this. Just we could not imagine. We are yesterday in Sanz, in Netanya. And the Klausenberger of the Rebbe was speaking, and he is a survivor of the ghettos. And he was mentioning his experience. And he said that he gave himself a word at that time that if he will survive, he'll devote himself to rebuild. And that's what he's doing.
To what?
To rebuild. That this is what he is doing. There have been thousands and thousands of people last night earlier at the groundbreaking of the hospital. Thousands and thousands. They said before you went over there, they said that they estimate there will be about 5,000 people. It felt much more. The feeling that we had over there, much more than 5,000 people. It was hard to hear. I could not pick up everything which he said. But the inhuman way people were treated, it's almost impossible to imagine. And it's almost impossible to imagine that overnight, an entire nation, which was a civilized nation, the most educated nation, which has produced, in literature, has produced the greatest poets and philosophers, to turn human beasts. It's impossible to imagine even this. How it happened. And overnight, they spread out all over the world. We have to realize that this is not a natural thing. That this is a supernatural thing, the way it happened. Now, I heard something. This Shabbos, I heard something which is, Reb Nota Shiller said it, and I overheard a conversation between Reb Nota Shiller and Reb Yaakov Kass. You know who Nota Shiller is, huh? The Goyen, the Vilna Goyen, has divided the Jewish history into the passes of the year. And according, and he, are you familiar with this?
Okay, yeah.
Huh? I heard it for the first time. And the period about 40 years ago, according to the Goyim, was the Parsha Kisavi, where it is the clause. And our period is the Parsha of Atim Nitzavim. Amazing thing. But to realize that when you learn the clothes in Parsha Kisavi, you also think it's impossible that people should be so cruel. It's impossible that such tragedies would befall people. When you read it. So, which means that not only the survival of the Jewish people is a history, the suffering is a miracle. The suffering of Jewish people is also a miracle. It's also not in the natural way. The survival also not. The survival, you know what the Medrash said, that the Jewish people is compared to sand on the seashore. So the Medrash says, why sand? Why sand? So when children are playing in the seashore and they dig holes in the sand, the holes fill up in no time. You can't dig a hole that should stay in the sand. It fills up in no time. The same the Medrash says, whatever the enemies will do to the Jewish people, whatever hole they will do, it fills up in no time. One of the greatest miracles. What's happening in our time? What happened in our time? One of the greatest miracles. The same, when the Yeshua will come, will also not be a natural way. Will also be something. It doesn't have to mean that it's open miracles. But on the other hand, we'll see, it's impossible to be just natural. And that's what Micha says. And I have brought with me two reliable witnesses. Witnesses to Hashgacha. Witnesses to to Providence. Uriah, who is telling the tragedy, which will be superhuman? It couldn't be. It's only by providence. And Schayo, which is telling what the revival, not only the survival, the revival, which is not natural either. So each one of them is a witness of, is a witness for providence. Is it clear what I'm saying? And here comes the Ramban at the end of Parsha Boy and says that a person does not have a share in Torah's Moshe unless he realizes that everything that happens to us, nothing natural. Everything by providence. Now, let me mention this. When we want to read a paper, newspaper. Why do I want to know the news? That's a very interesting observation. I think I share it with everyone. When I want to know what happened today, it's not because I want to know what happened today. It's because I want to know what to expect tomorrow. Do you feel like this? That when we are not interested in the news for the past, we are interested in the news for the future. What can I expect tomorrow? But here is the mistake for me. If Jewish history would move along the lines of normal history, of history of other nations, it is like this. It is a cause and effect. It's a line of causality. So by knowing what happened today, and by experience which we had, so say if the condition is today like this, I know what's going. Let's say the same as a layman predicts the weather. If today is very cloudy, maybe it will rain tomorrow. And if he has a sunset, a certain sunset, he looks at the sunset, it will be a dry day tomorrow, right? Huh? So that's the way we are reading a paper. Reading a paper, looking what are the conditions today, in order to see what's going on tomorrow. In Jewish history, it's not like this. It has nothing to do with it. What is interesting, the only person who understand how to predict Jewish history was a Goye. And she was Homan's Rebbe, the wife of Haman. She knew that, of all people, she knew it. She said, if you remember, in the Zera Yehudim Mordechai Yehudim, if that Mordechai is of Jewish seed, she said, as you started falling, you will keep on falling for it. You remember? So, what did she say? Since he is Mizera Yehudim, so well, you have to just to observe which way is Providence turning. Then you'll know where it will go. So she says to him, you had already a little mapole for a Jew, it's going to continue. This is reading Jewish history. Now, this brings us to something else, the study of Jewish history. The modern historians, by the entire trend of the modern Jew, who all he wants to be, he wants to be a nation like other nations. So the modern historian also, as Gretz or whoever of them, he tried to understand Jewish history along the same evolution of general history, which does not fit in. It does not fit in the fact. Aside from the fact that those historians have distorted many facts, knowingly, intentionally, they distorted many facts. And for this, we have Halevi who has shown all this.
Kuzri.
Huh? No, Kuzri is old. I'm talking about his history, which was written within the last 250 years. Kuzri is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and he is not history, but he understands Jewish history. And one who is writing along the lines of Providence history is Rabbi Avigdor Miller. In his books, it's not the modern approach, it's not the scientific approach, but it's the Jewish approach. I think in Lashon HaKodesh, Rothenberg is also writing along the same lines. But a victim, he loves. Now,
So what is the Jewish approach then?
The Jewish approach is providence.
We're trying to understand what providence is. Still, it's a cosmic effect also in a sense.
Yeah, but by providence. And the best, I think, is Avigdor Miller's books. You see it. He's showing you on each and every development. If you want to know in Tanakh, the first chapter of Shoftim, or the first and second, I don't remember. The book of Shoftim. In the first chapter, the first or the second, I have to take a look. He in short, gives you in a nutshell everything, describing everything which is going to happen in the entire book of Shoftim. But it tells you how it developed. Shoftim. The Tanakh Shoftim. Shoftim, I think the Gemara says, was written by Shmuel HaNavi. But that's what the Gemara says. To understand it, we have to learn it. To understand Jewish history, we have to learn in Chumash. To learn Brit Ben Apsor. You see, the Haggadah, when the Haggadah wants to tell us about Mitzrayim, being in Mitzrayim, coming out, Brit Ben Apsor, the covenant with Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu is asking, I want to know how we'll get to Eretz Yisrael. And he tells them that the children will be slaves and then they'll come out. And the Haggadah understands that this keeps on repeating itself constantly in history. The Haggadah remembers, they say, the Hisham the Lavisin of Elonu, that promise that will always come out is what keeps us surviving. So, in the shortest, in the most concise form in the Torah, it is in the Parsha of Brit Ben Apsor. And then you'll find it especially in Dvorim. In the Kriya which we read, Tisha B'Av, Kesolet Bonim V'Bnei Bonim, you'll find it. And then you'll find it in Teichocho, in Atem Nitzovim, and at the end also the Parsha of Mashiach and the Parsha of Geula is also in Nitzovim. That's where you find it. Now, to talk about the second angle. The second angle is, it is a question of maybe we would call it compassion. To put ourselves in the place of the person who suffers, to suffer with him together. Is this what's called compassion? I don't know. I don't know English enough. Is this? Huh? Pardon? Maybe empty, I'm not familiar with the word, but maybe.
Is to feel the same thing or to experience
it? Huh? Not to to feel it as if you experience. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a very interesting observation. That we cannot feel it unless we, in our minds, we concentrate on an individual We cannot see an entire group of people suffering. We can't see the suffering. When we stop looking at one individual, that's when we care. It seems to me, this it's a fact which I observe. And I am trying to explain it to myself. And it seems to me that the entire, what is the real ahava? What is real, as the Torah says, v'ahavta l'reicha kamecha, you should love the next man. What does the Torah mean by loving a man? We know there is another kind of love. There is a kind of love which people who love fish. He loves a certain type of fish. It's that. He loves himself, but the fish gives him pleasure. He doesn't love the fish. Huh? So what is the love? Love is wishing the other man to be happy. That's what love is. The same as I want to be happy myself, I want him to be happy. This is what love is. Love is really a form of friendship. This is what friendship is. Huh? But when it becomes emotional, it we call it love. But it seems that the entire capacity of love which we have can only be to an individual, not to a group. We can love individuals. The entire relation of that does not express itself in the direction of a group, in the direction of a collective. I love the people in Mattersdorf. I love them. I love the kids here. But it's not that I love all kids together. I love each and every kid. Huh? Is it clear? I enjoy seeing him enjoy himself. So, but it cannot be directed. It cannot, the target of love is always an individual. You can love 10 individuals. So you have 10 targets, but not one target of 10 people. Is it clear? I think if you start thinking about it, you'll realize the same thing. Therefore, I think if we want to and what we should is to have times when we really should share in the sufferings of people. But this is not by descriptions of collectives, by individuals. Moshe Prager has the Nitzutzei Gvura. Have you seen it? Sparks of glory. When you read over there, he always tells you the story of one individual. That's when you can, this is when you can experience. You can experience it to a certain extent, even if you read collective literature. But then it's not sharp. It's because also he imagined the image. Yeah, this is what I said, I think, in a mature way, what we should think about, to understand it. The question of education of children, and the question, I once had a thought to make a study in a class, to make a study of the Zmiras of Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, Yoy Yoy. Where in each and every paragraph, each paragraph is another period in Jewish history. And making a study of it, this may be on the canvas of that Baruch Hashem Yoy Yoy. I can learn history. I can learn Jewish history with the Torah approach. Yeah, I was thinking about it. What's this doing on Shabbos? Huh? And what we have in Shabbos, here I lost something, I think.
I will get to Eretz Yisrael and tell them that the children.
Yeah, this is Shabbos. Now you'll find on Shabbos, you will find what is Mizmor Shelem, the Kantor, what is Lachon Ranno, and what is Loise Veshe or Loise Kormi, his Naam of Akumi, what is? The answer is, that Shabbos let me say that Rashi Vayachal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i, and the Almighty has completed his creation on the seventh day. So Rashi says, on the seventh day, you expect at least the Rabbi Yisrael himself to be Hashem on Shabbos? On the seventh day, you complete his creation? So Rashi says, in human eyes it looks like it. Because the human being can never be precise on time. And as a matter of fact, time can be divided in an infinite number of divisions. Huh? You can divide an hour in 60 seconds, in 60 minutes, then you divide a minute in 60 seconds, right? Then you can divide a second in 1,000 parts. You can divide it in 1,000,000 parts. Because time is never, there is no quality of being simultaneous in time. The only question is, we don't have the instrument or the tool to measure small fractions of time. Therefore, things look to us as if they happen simultaneously. Maybe never happen simultaneously. It's only a division, a fine division of time. As a matter of fact, there is in Gemara an opinion like this. In Gemara an opinion, that in Torah, that's in many places, Yefshar is something that if twins were born, and they first go to a firstborn, and both heads come out exactly the same time. Huh? Then still, Rav Asher said, no. One came out first and the other one came out after. But the fraction of time was so small that you couldn't notice. So he's talking about that not two events can happen at the same time. We have to learn something. Because time can be divided in. So therefore, let's say if it happens, that it happened 1 millionth of a second before Shabbos came. In human eyes, it was done on Shabbos the last. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beautiful. That's what Rashi says. Vayechal kim bayom hashvi'i. So Rashi says, the human being cannot be exact in time or doesn't have precision in time. To him, what happened late Friday looks as if it happened already Shabbat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the borderline. Then Rashi says another. Then Rashi says, Dover Achim, what was the world missing? Rest. Shabbos came, rest came. What's the explanation? It has to answer that kashi. It has to answer that kashi that most probably Hashem was Hashem of Shabbos. So, how does Rashi answer that question? By saying, Shabbos came, rest came. The answer is that Rashi translates Vayom HaShvi'i, the entire idea of Mashiach. It's not tonight to talk about it, maybe another case. But this is the entire idea of Mashiach. That suddenly a movement of tshuva will come. Now this movement, that's why I said today there is more interference. Because today we experience already a movement of truth. Huh? But it's not so innocent as it looks. Why? This says in Amos, but maybe you sing it. Yevim boim, yishlachti robo, leirov lalechem, letzom alamayim. How you sing it? But you sing only the first part of the prophecy. The prophecy goes further. Prophecy says, I will bring about a hunger in the land. Neither a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but to hear a word of Hashem. And people will get lost. And people will become idol worshippers. And some people will be doomed never to be found anymore. Which means like this. In order to bring about tshuva, Hashem will bring a movement of people searching, of thirst. Now a hungry is looking for food. There is no guarantee that he'll find healthy food. He may find also poison. And this is the success of the Jews for Jay. And this is the success of many cults. The lucky ones end up in Osamir. This is clear. So, but there is interference. And this will go on more and more. And I think this is the way Hashem is preparing the world from us. Then the Gemara says, when it will be realized, the Atem Hore Yisrael, Antchem Tiso, Pir Yechem Titeinu, Ein Loch Kit Megula Mize. When it will be realized that Apostle in Yecheskel, you, the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, you will again carry your branches and produce your fruit. You don't have to look for more signs that Mashiach is on the way. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara than ever. If it's to be understood in a more spiritual way, it means that Eretz Yisrael will already produce tshuva. It will produce its fruit. You see it today. Besides the fact that you see also the physical survival of the land, which the Ramban says, that it says in Techocho, V'shomu alecho aleo aydechem, your enemies will have it a desolated land. He said that's a blessing that we have been promised that no nation will keep Eretz Yisrael alive but Jews. All right, should we stop here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now my question is, yes.
I don't understand the fact that there are those that today there's so much ignorance and that are the ones who are being lost and are coming to the poison. The justice of that, it's not their own fault.
Right. It is a Rahman, it's a big... And the Novi says, it is with Rahman, it says, the beautiful children will get lost. That's how the Novi says. It's not their fault. And this is a result, I'll tell you, the one who describes how it happened is Meir Schiller in the Road Back. The first half of the book, which is very good. He describes what happened. But what happened is whatever shouldn't, the thing which really was the key of it, that people stopped learning. Shall we try that? Yeah. Now I hope next time we'll be able to learn from us. Huh? That's my apology. That's my apology. But I asked you before I would like to talk about this. You gave me permission. Yeah. Now I'm in. Pesach is this week. I'm very much afraid that Thursday I may have Shiva Brachas. I don't know where. I went to two weddings last night. And one is a Bachman Yeshiva. And the other one is a Shmuel Birnbaum. The Rosh Yeshiva from Mira Yeshiva in Brooklyn. And I have a great feeling that some Sheva Brachas will be on Thursday. So therefore, tomorrow night, I think I can be free. Yeah. But Thursday, I don't know. Exactly. Next week, Monday, I may also have a wedding in Tel Aviv. Baruch Hashem, now is that's the season. You know, I'll tell you something. I was in Bnei Brak. One wedding was in Ramat Gan, the other in Bnei Brak. You're almost around the corner. So I'm going with a taxi from one and another. I said, until what time can I get a Sherut back to Yerushalayim? A Sherut to Yerushalayim? I said, didn't you see? 500 people are standing over there waiting. Because the chasmus. There have been, I was only two. Rav Chodesh went to a third one. Yeah. So, and now is the Chasmus. Can I make a copy of this?
Yeah.
Huh? I can make
a. And the literature, which where you can find description of the fourth approach, yeah, is perfidy. In addition to the order of Menametzar and the Sufei HaKifshonim Ma'ashimim is perfidy. Then I want to say an illustration to the third approach is that discussion which is going on for years. Why didn't the people in the ghettos defend themselves? Why did they go like, you know about this? And then make the biggest thing out of the Warsaw ghetto uprising. And the what it is that the modern Jew thinks that the people in the ghettos have embarrassed him. He is embarrassed because they didn't defend themselves. So, and this is very typical for that third approach which I mentioned yesterday. And people are so confused that even this goes. Now let's learn Chumash. Something else. It's not our business. But people are asking it. Yeah, because they think all they are concerned what it means for them. They don't care at all what it meant for the world. So they should have, in addition to being victims, they should have done something also to that the prestige of the whatever it is, the assimilated Jew. So that's what I meant. Now. You know that